It's a great honor to be back. How long do I have, Angela? 10:55, 1:11. Okay, well, let's get started. I have quite a few things I want to share with you guys. So today, Sam has reminded us, October is Missions Month. So today's my message is called Mission-Minded Family. And the reason we have started Home of Christ Church has this Mission Month is because of the humility to understand as a household, as a family-oriented church, we may fall short of God's calling on missions. And so the reason we have this is because we know we are weak on this. And I have to here, to be honest, telling you, we are a household, a family-oriented church. We are not missional gospel as we want it to be. Okay? So I have to really be honest with you. That's the case it is. So today I'm going to just, again, focus on why, what, and how to be a mission-minded family. So this mission-minded family is not just only applied to individual families, but as a church, as a family of household of God as well. Again, we know the Home of Christ Church is, we build on God's verses of this is the house of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. And in this truth, we want to, I don't know if you guys go to the Chinese church website, but some of you do, the parents, right? If you go to Chinese, our own website, one of the first slides, the biggest slide, the slides across all, is the Chinese, is the slogan we have for our church vision, which is to extend the love of Christ to all families. So, and that's the vision as the Home of Christ is founded. So I want to explain today that based on that vision, based on the Bible definition of the church and the call, the founding pastor of this church, we want to expand the whole this love of God to all nations and all families. So I'm going to focus on three sections. One is the why of the being a mission-minded family as a church, as well as individual family. Second is on what, which is to bring Abrahamic blessings across the globe, across all nations, across all those who believe like Abraham did, not just the Israelites, not just the Middle Eastern people who have genes from Abraham. It's actually people who all to believe just like what Abraham did, who believed in the God who bring who resurrect people. And third, we're going to look at the how, which is as a church, as a family, what are the things that we can participate and in the mission month? So, but before I get into those three points, I want to call out the why in general, because the why of missions is the glory of God. I'm very happy that in today's song we heard that, you know, God is greater than who we are, right? God is much greater. God is the only uncreated creator. If kids ask, you know, if everything is created, you know, what about God? Well, God is the uncreated creator. He has the significance of God's glory is so huge that nothing in the creation can mimic his glory. The closest one is human being, but that, you know, human image of God's, human are images of God that's tarnished. And today I want to, before I get into the details, I want to say there are things that Pastor John Piper has taught me many years ago. He said the reason mission exists, today we're going to look at what is mission, but mission exists because worship doesn't. Because when we don't give glory to God, that's where mission exists. We want to send people out and call people to give glory to God. And Pastor John Piper also go into deeper, and the action item he has in mind is also today's my message. We are either all goers or senders or disobedient. So even though as a Home of Christ Church ourselves, we are very family-oriented. We are very focusing on gospel preaching and making disciples. But we cannot just say, you know, we are we don't do anything about mission because the command has been given. We are either goers or senders. So we're trying to be senders mostly, but we could be goer, hopefully. The vision of Home Christ is to grow so healthy and mature that we will have one or two goers among us. As a goer, we are not talking about, you know, visitors, okay? Goers, real goers. And we have mostly senders, we are disobedient. So today I want to go to that and talk about the visions, the mission, and the why, the what, and the how of the missions. Why such an urgency? I mean, today I can see that, you know, in Mission Month, there's a less of an interest across the globe about missions, because when you are focusing on the family, it's very hard to think about family has a bigger vision. And I want to use an example, which is, you know, on Thursday, something happened. So I had an event where I went to colonoscopy, okay? But before that, the car, when I park at the health center, I noticed there's, you know, a red light on my dashboard. And the red light, I checked the manual handbook, is a red light of the coolant. So the handbook told me that you should not drive, right? You should not drive. But I was in such a hurry, I just text my wife and they said, you know, we have a red light. And she asked me. And I regret that answer all the time. She said, should I drive or not? What did I say? I said, it depends. I felt I'm like the serpent in the garden, in the paradise where, you know, the light says you cannot drive, right? I said, it depends. I give that false message. And I went into all the medical operations, you know, I lost track of time. And then when I woke up, something happened. She noticed when in the highway, you know, the heat, that there's a smoke coming out. And she was, you know, she had to pull aside. One of the reasons today I want to preach this message, it's not so much I'm doing really good at this. The church are doing really well at this. But it feels like this coolant, this light, this thing is like, you know, if we are not faithful to God's calling as a mission-oriented, mission-minded, because mission is embedded in everything church does, because mission is part of the gospel preaching, the content of the gospel, and the motivation of the gospel is to become gospel/mission. It's the two sides of the same coin. We're going to look at that in detail. But remember, the sign says you need to stop. And I just say, it depends. No, it not depends. You should do it. Regardless whether you're doing well or not well, you should do it. Be faithful. That's what I'm trying to share with you, this urgency upon mission. Because as a church, we want to be, and we continue to be, want to be faithful to God's calling of mission. So first of all, we're going to go through quickly, why mission? As I already mentioned, mission is full of glory of God in all nations. Mission exists when there is no worship. When you go to a country where you see that people are going to temples, they're going to idols, and they're going to their ancestor tombs, but they're not going to church to worship God. You need to feel that love, that sense of urgency. We all are familiar with John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish of eternal life. But few of us are paying attention to the context, especially immediately after that. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So mission starts with God's love for the world. So if you have received that love, if you have been a born-again Christian and grew up in home of Christ, if you have known God's love, you need to understand that love encompasses the whole world, not just Chinese, not just Chinese Americans, not just teenagers, not just middle-aged men like me, but for whole world. So mission exemplifies, shows God's love for the whole world. And second of all, what is the meaning of mission? The mission, the word itself means sent. So in John 17:18, Jesus said, the high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So he shows you again that mission is not optional. As every Christian, you are called to be sent into the world because Jesus was sent into the world to save you. And again, whoever you are saved, if you are saved, Jesus said, I have sent you into the world. So mission is about sending. Again, the sending needs to be defined and carefully understood because everyone is playing a different role as part of that. As John Piper, Pastor John Piper said, you're either a sender or goer or disobedient. So you don't want to be disobedient, then you have two choices, sender or goer. Are you a sender? The Great Commission. Come back to the Great Commission. Jesus said he was sent and he sent each of us. And Jesus said in the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So encompassing the Great Commission is the authority of heaven and on earth. And lastly, the promise, Jesus said, I will always be with you to the end of the age. Encompassing that is the Great Commission. One of the things that we have to understand, this Great Commission, it cannot be emphasized enough, is that the Great Commission only has one verb. The verb is making disciples. So it's kind of sad that you see many Christians, including elders, pastors, and ministers, who are very enthusiastic about disciple making, who are very enthusiastic about reaching to the unbelievers, but they don't seem to be nearly as close understanding or enthusiastic about mission. I think you can see it here that it's not appropriate, because here, making disciples, where? Making disciples to all nations. And how do you make disciples? Baptizing them and teaching them. So one thing I want to emphasize here is that the gospel preaching, church building, and mission is the same thing. In this Great Commission, you are called to build a church. You are called to be a faithful follower of Christ in a healthy church, in a gospel-centered church. But you are also called to collectively organize and support and send missionaries. Because it's the same thing here. Make disciples not just of the United States, of the Bay Area, of the Chinese Christians, but making disciples of all nations. The calling is there. We need to be obedient to this Great Commission. So I want to say making disciples is the only verb, and all baptism, all teaching should be oriented not just in the gospel itself, but gospel itself shows the power of missions to all nations. And then early church did. The early church had that in mind, but the early church, in a certain way, did not want to go out as much until the persecution came. So in Acts, we have this famous verse of Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of earth." What's the point of this verse? The point of this verse is that in the grammar of the Greek, which I don't know, but theologians have explained to us, is that you should do all of this. Be a witness in Jerusalem. Be a witness in Judea and Samaria. And to the end of earth, you should do all of this at the same time. You should do all this at the same time. You don't do this the church is well built, when I have over 500 people, when everything is healthy, then I start to do the sending. Then I start to support missionary. No, you do that at the same time because that's the calling. Of course, you know, you do it based on your conviction, but your conviction needs to be faithful. Okay? So that's why we do missions. That's why we have mission month, because we are not very good. And we try to say, let's learn together as a church. And it's very hard, but it's necessary. It's God's calling. And as I mentioned, if we don't do it, we are not faithful, and God is not pleased. It's like the smoke, the red light. Because mission brings blessings to the church. Mission brings blessing to each one of you. Mission brings blessing to the family of God. This is the household God. This is not household of anyone else but himself. So let's talk about what of the missions. The Great Commission, as I mentioned, is a calling to be gospel preaching to the whole all nations, not just a particular domain and area. But first we need to understand is what of the mission is to it's not just a quick raise hand call. It's actually a conversion that's followed up by building a mission-minded churches. Why is that? Well, let me refute some misconceptions of missions or some not so biblical or healthy way of doing missions. First of all, I got this from a pastor article. One of the first thing is, you remember, mission, the myth of mission says, mission is only for the young. Mission is only for the young. Well, you know what? In the upcoming Wednesday, I'm not sure the English side, but the Chinese side will invite a sharing of a pastor who is the result or one of the co-worker of called European Campus Ministry. How was it started? This was not started by some young missionaries. I mean, most of you have watched the famous video of, the movie of The End of Spear about, you know, those five missionaries went to the Ecuador, James Elliot. That gives you the impression it's only young people who are doing that. Well, not necessarily, because that's only one special case. How about the other cases? Well, in this case, we have a witness of three retired, either professors or, you know, mature Christians, when they were doing short missions, that this is European Campus Ministry, okay, Home of Christ is supporting. That's why we invited the pastor to share on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. They started when these three elderly co-workers, when they went to the West Germany in the short mission trips, they brought some people to faith by conversion. And then, but the thing is that people who converted, where do they stay? Nowhere. If they left their short mission trips, how about the Christians? So they found there was no place for them to worship. So starting 2003, these co-workers who are here, you know, faithful laymen, they're not pastors, okay? They're not ministers, but they are just faithful co-workers in the church members. They started to rent a car, go to East Germany. They were at early retirement age. They start to find Chinese Christian, Chinese students, and to share and convert these students in Germany. So after 2005, there are more, you know, conversions, and they started. One of the couples decided to stay at Dresden in East Germany to become a long-term missionary. And then they started Europe Campus Ministry 2006. And this whole ministry started to boom and to, you know, reap the harvest. Okay? So mission is not just for the young. In fact, in most times in this day and age, they will not, when in many countries that right now they are expelling younger missionaries. Okay? But there are special incentive programs to encourage older people to come and live. See? Older people, they are not full-time ministers. Older people, and to spend their money in those nations. Malaysia, you know, one of the places where we reject missionaries. There's a program called Malaysia My Second Home Program to attract immigrants over 50 plus to live there. Whether they're Christians or not, they don't care. As long as you live there and spend money there, especially if you are not full-time ministers. So one thing is you have to understand, God is using everyone to preach, to share, and to convert, to reach out. God is not just using full-time ministers, all the elders only. The second part of the myth is the goal of mission is not a movement. Why is that? Well, I don't have time to go into detail here, but the key here, remember, is that movement itself is like a fad. Movement itself is really there's a good and bad of the fad. The fad is that, you know, there might be conversions. And in fact, there are always conversions in the movement. But the long-term disciple-making needs an in-depth, a long-term vision of growing church and multiplying Christians. Not just, as I mentioned, in the ECM, they were seeing conversions, but they don't have place to worship to continue to convert. So movement is important, but not as important as long-term healthy church planting. The third myth is contextualizing the message. And you have heard the witness or the lifetime story of Hudson Taylor, who converted, who actually was a forerunner, but also one of the most significant missionary to modern China. But one of the things he never does is that he was famous for contextualizing to the culture. He was famous to saving a long, I don't know, pony? No, not pony. It's like, what's it called? Long braid of hair, like mimic the Qing Dynasty people. He was famous to wearing the old traditional Chinese I don't even wear those. He was famous for doing that. He was contextualizing to the culture, but not the message. He was preaching faithful gospel message. So one of the things is that mission is not contextualizing the message, not compromising the message, but still faithful to the gospel. The fourth, mission is only for super Christians. So I mentioned this to you again and again. No, it's not only for super Christians. Missions is for all Christians. And I'm not going to go into that. But remember, lastly, the local church just pays and prays for missions. And that is something I also want to go into today a little bit, which is we are trying to change that. We do not just pray and pay. We're not tipping the missionaries. We're trying to be more mission-oriented, mission-minded, and gospel mission-focused as a church. And I will explain how we're going to do that. So one of the things that rarely taught on missionary classes in seminaries, unfortunately, but this is the healthy way of doing things, which is, what is world mission? Most of the time, we are thinking mission organizations, mission sending agencies, seminaries. Well, I think the Bible's vision is different. Bible's vision is the primary equipper, sender, supporter is local church. And there's a lot of arguments and support about that vision, but I want to plant this in you today, is that the local church is the primary sender, equipper, and supporter of a healthy mission, missionary or mission organizations, especially missionary. Mission organizations are playing a complementary role in the mission endeavor. They are assisting where church cannot, but they are not going to exist and last into eternity. The only institution that lasts into eternity is church itself. Everything else exists to be faithfully supporting church, help church correct or equip church where church is weak. Church is the foundation of truth. So let's look at how we grow as a family. Family growth of mission-minded. Well, you could see that prayer, pledge, and plant. Let's go into that briefly. So first of all, prayer. So we can say, you know, church only pay and pray. But we cannot underestimate the importance of prayer in a mission context, in a mission month, or throughout the church life. So this is a message also for the leaders, especially both the Chinese side and English side. One of the things I have to say, we are witnessing a lot of pushback or a lot of delay in trying to be mission-minded. On the Chinese side, we're trying to bring this prayer cast to the Chinese side, and it took a long time. And we're trying to institute this because prayer, one of the key things about prayer is that prayer opens your mind to a greater vision of God's glory. Most time our prayers, you could think about the prayer you had for the past week. I just thought about it. Like, thankful for the food, thankful for the medical operation, thankful for the car did not completely on fire, you know, thankful for a lot of things. When were you thankful for the missionary endeavor? When were you thankful for the church-wide, collectively supporting of missionaries? So prayer, we have to understand, a corporate prayer, a church-wide calling to the missions cannot be replaced by personal, by group prayers whatsoever. That's why I encourage the Chinese congregation for the past year or so, you need to come to church prayer meeting, because church vision is God's kingdom. Your personal prayer, your group prayer, important, necessary. Build up your relationship, bonding with God. But you can never replace a church-wide prayer on Sunday, on Wednesday night, because the vision is different, completely different, and the focused. And in this famous verse where Jesus is calling his disciples, he was instructing his disciples. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I'm saying the prayer is few now. How can we send laborers when the prayer is so few? Are you praying for the church? Not just the local mission, local gospel, but also include that for all nations? Are you praying that the teachings of this church will be more focused on the true gospel, which encompasses the blessing of Abraham to all nations? Not just to Chinese Americans, not to Chinese people, not just American people? So prayer cannot be replaced. There are prayers that we all do, but there are prayers that cannot be replaced. So today I want to introduce you to the prayer cast, which is not mandatory, but I won't say this. I cannot say this enough. This prayer cast kind of prayer cannot be replaced by any of your personal prayers, and it has the mind of Christ's glory in all nations in mind. So can Angela please share 2 minute video?
We bring before you beautiful people of Taiwan. For generations, this nation has been known for its rich culture, tradition, and hospitality. For this we praise you.
But Father, there are also strongholds of fear, superstition, and idol worship. Lord, come with your salvation and break the chains of the enemy.
Father, may you raise up your church in Taiwan with a passion to proclaim the gospel with boldness and power, and help the church to bring their neighborhoods into a real relationship with Jesus Christ.
We ask that you send a powerful outpouring of your Spirit on Taiwan to break into every segment of society, from the government leaders to the working class. Break through in every generation. Father God, you know there are over a million young people in colleges and universities across Taiwan. They are hungry for truth and searching for hope. Lord, reveal yourself to them. You are the way, the truth, and the life.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Thank you, Joe. This kind of prayer cannot be replaced by any personal, small group, or local prayers. It has to be brought in and introduced to God's heart for all nations. I just brought Taiwan because, you know, a lot of people are, but there's prayer for Finland, China. And these prayer casts were collected through the Christians over there. They're not collected through like professionals. They're collected through ordinary Christians who grew up, who actually were faithful members of those ethnicity and countries. And the second part is pledge. And this is, again, shows our humility as the founding pastor of Home of Christ. Pastor Ko Shiyuan. He actually shows us this humility that we are always going to be a little bit weak on that. So let's do this by asking the congregation to pledge, especially for the missions. It's not that, and going forward, we have changed a little bit, which we encourage pledging, but we're also saying the main general fund will also to try to cover the mission. That's not enough. But the real thing is, you're saying, are these just paying tips? They're not. Because, I mean, in the beginning, the worship team already, I remember Pastor Ben's message from last week already mentioned laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven to support mission through prayers, through faithful pledging. It's important for where you connect your heart to God, because for where your treasure is, there your heart will also. Only by pledging, you are actually praying sometimes. I'm not saying for everyone, but only when you are paying something, you have to realize that is that something out of God, the Holy Spirit? Is that something prompts you to pray God's work be done through your pledging? So pledging is important, a part of the measure we are adopting. We have been adopting in Home of Christ for the past 20 years, which is pray and pledge specially for laying up, money aside for mission fund. So what you do is that when you give to the Home of Christ Church, you can write, this is for mission only. This is for missions. And we'll spend, and the church will put that into mission fund. Okay? So pledging is very important, because pledging connects your prayer and motivates you to receive blessing from God for the expansion of His kingdom and His glory. And lastly, church needs to, as a church, we need to preach and plant. Why is that? Because in the gospel message, inherently, as I mentioned, there's this mission in the gospel message everywhere, from Abraham's call. God called him to be a blessing to whom? To all nations. He is called the father of a multitude of nations. How can people know God without the preaching? How can people grow to become a disciples, mature in the image of Christ without a healthy church? So preaching and planting is part of the mission. And how we are going to do it? Well, we start doing it here. We start doing here in the Home of Christ Church through more powerful preaching and planting, building up a healthy church. And only then, when you see the gospel fruit, will have a part of that reaching out to all nations. So my message today for everyone in summary is, we are called to be a mission-minded family, because we are born of Jesus Christ's gospels. And let me give you a little bit introduction to our bylaw, which has been updated this year. Our bylaws, if you see that we have adjusted the bylaw to orient it towards the gospel vision and healthy church vision. First of all, we are supporting, this is in order of priority, we're supporting HOC1 equipped missionaries. That's our highest goal. HOC1 equipped missionaries. We only send someone we trust, or a long-term HOC1 resident missionary, which we know really well, which we can help, and also we can learn from that missionary. Second, we are supporting long-term, short-term, in order of priority, long-term, short-term, and visitation mission trips supported by HOC1. Third, the principles when we support mission organizations is these. The first one is they are focusing on church planting or collaborating with a healthy existing church. So the only way you'll have the fruits of the mission to grow healthy and strong and to multiply more Christians is to be connected with a healthy church. And second, this missionary organization, this publication, this seminary or Christian Mercy Ministry, they need to be doctrinally sound, with gospel at the center. They need to preach the gospel. We're not a social gospel church. We are a gospel, Christ, cross-centered church. Third, organization that enables HOC One member to partner and participate. We want to involve every one of us here. Not necessarily as goer to the foreign land. No, not yet. Maybe. But even then, you need to be equipped. You need to be mature. You need to be truly called and examined. We want all HOC One member to partner, participate in the mission organization and missionary we're supporting. So right now, this year, you're going to see still 26 or something. But we have a vision already listed out, only 12 that we'll support in the long run. The reason is because we're not tipping them. We are connecting with them. We're supporting them in the long run. And we want to make sure we can motivate each one of the Christians to see the glory of God in all nations. So we are called to be a mission-minded family. And this is a message for the leaders, elders. We have first to start with leaders, the elders, the pastors, the ministers. We have to embed the gospel teaching to carefully understand the blessing of Abraham is for all nations. And the worship and the prayer all should continuously to have that vision embedded, because that's part of God's call or Jesus' Great Commission. As I mentioned, it's not only to Chinese Americans. It's to the whole nation, all nations. And we must be senders, not necessarily, and when be goers, when carefully equipped and supported to be goers and called, of course. And mission is war. So prayer, pledge, preach, and plant. We are multiplying. So first of all, we are called to be a mission-minded family. We are called to create more mission-minded family as we go. As we send and support missionaries to go to build churches, to find conversions. And lastly, I have a mission 1, 2, 3 for each one of you this month. Okay, what do you take home to be mission-minded as a family of the household of God? First of all, you pick one missionary, one missionary that churches support and pray for that missionary. Second of all, two, you get to know two mission organizations and understand what they do. Pray for them. Ask about them. Ask your pastor. Ask your elder. Ask your leader. And three, pray for that every week for 3 minutes. Of course, if you actually come to the church and goes to the prayer meeting, that will also count. But I would ask individually. 3 minute prayer is not much. Okay? So that's the action item for one I want you to take home to be a mission-minded family, a mission-minded household of God, because this is not optional, and this will bless the church and bless each individual family. Last of all, the goal of mission is the institution of church. We are bringing, I'll summarize today, which is message. Let's become a mission-minded family to more mission-minded families in all nations. This is the message I want you to take home. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your gospel message that saves. Thank you for the founding pastor you used to establish Home of Christ Church in the Bay Area. But we understand this gospel message is so glorious and so precious. It is for the whole all nations. It is for all humanity. That there are still regions or ethnic groups where gospel message are not preached, where churches has not been built. We ask that you help us to understand your love even deeper, to help us to Home of Christ Church leaders to become more gospel focused and mission minded, to help each family here and each young people, old people, every Christians to be motivated, to be mission-minded, because this is the blessing of the gospel, and this is the power of the gospel to convert, to proclaim your glory, We want to plant healthy churches, mission-minded churches through the gospel preaching, through the missionaries you send. Help us to be faithful. Lord, we cannot avoid this call because the call has been given. Help us not to be disobedient. Help us to be great senders, supporters, and goers to the world mission you have called each one of us to become part of it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.